Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Dr. Hank Show. I'm your host, Dr. Hank, and we're going to be talking about all things emotional intelligence today, as we usually do. If I sound a little hollow, if the sound comes out a little hollow, it's because I got a new mic. I have a new mic today, so I'm trying it out for the very first time, so if my voice sounds a little hollow, it doesn't come across real resonant or something, or it sounds like I'm in a cave or a canyon. No, I'm not in a cave or a canyon, but I'm trying out a new mic. So, but thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate it. This show, again, is the Dr. Hank Show, and we talk about emotional intelligence. We talk about emotional intelligence and how it shows up or how it plays out or how it impacts us in our daily lives. And speaking of that, I want to give a big shout out to all of those who attended and completed the EQI 2.0 certification this weekend here in Orlando. We had a great group of folks, and let me say this: they were from academia, they were from the military. We had someone that was a former law enforcement. We had individuals that were coaches. We had individuals that are just starting their business. They're getting into consulting and coaching. We had individuals that were from the clergy. So when we talk about emotional intelligence and who emotional intelligence is for, well, emotional intelligence is for everyone. And by the way, that's the name of my new book. EQ is for everyone. And while we were here this weekend in Orlando, I did a book signing at the Florida Hotel and Conference Center, which is where our annual conference is going to be next year in April. But I did a book signing. So I like to say thanks to everyone who turned out for the book signing. It was titled Coffee in Conversation. So what we did, in addition to me signing a few books, was just kind of sit around and talk about emotional intelligence and kind of how it shows up. And again, I just want to say thanks for all those that turned out for that. What was so great was there were a couple of people that showed up that I hadn't seen in some 4 or 5 years probably, and they are in the Orlando area. And so they came by and we spent some time chatting and having coffee and just talking about emotional intelligence. So I just want to give a shout out to all those folks that were there for that. We also, this weekend was a pretty busy weekend, as a matter of fact. One of the other things that we did is we did the Certified Emotional Intelligence Coach workshop. And essentially what that is for those that are already certified or got certified in the EQI 2.0, but they want to focus on coaching. We spent time on the third day talking about how emotional intelligence is foundational for coaching. because coaching is something in which you're dealing with people and you're helping people find or work through issues. But at the foundation of coaching is emotional intelligence, because the emotions are at the seat of just about everything that we do. And so when we include emotional intelligence in that, then you become a better coach. Now, if you want to know more about that, well, send me an email. Email eqisforeveryone@gmail.com. That's eqisforeveryone@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to get back to you and share some more information on that, tell you how to get a hold of or get a copy of my new book. And if you're interested in having a book signing done in an area where you are, well, you can indicate that too, and I'll be happy to respond back with some availability dates and so forth and so on. But today, we dedicate the last Monday of each month to an organization called NAFCM, N-A-F-C-M. And if you want to know more about them, you just go to their website, nafcm.org, and you can look them up and you'll find out a lot more information about them. But just to give you a quick look at the organization, it's an organization that deals with mediation, or helping people resolve conflict through mediation. And our guest today, to sort of give us more information on that and talk about how emotional intelligence shows up, or how emotional intelligence could be used in mediation, is Patsy Maroney. And I'm not going to take a lot of her thunder and lightning away, because she has lots of thunder and lots of lightning. I'm going to check in and see if she's there. And if she is, then she can give us more information and talk about that. So let me just do a quick check and see if Patsy's with us. Good morning. This is Dr. Hank. Are you there, Patsy?
Yeah, I sure am, Dr. Hank. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm doing really good, doing really good. I always say to people sometimes when they ask me, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing really great. I could be doing better, but not much.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that, you know, that's pretty high, but that leaves a little room for development. So how's Patsy this morning?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. I mean, I've never done a podcast before, so there's part of me going, ah, what am I doing? But I figure, hey, you know, this is how we grow.
That's right, that's right. And all you're doing is you're spending about an hour or so talking to Hank. That's all you're doing. Podcast, no podcast, any of that. We're just having a conversation. And what's interesting, when you're saying that, you know, you've never done a podcast before, but you've talked to people before, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I can talk. That's not a problem.
Well, there you go. That's what we're going to be doing. And so welcome to the show. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, and it's just, you know, awesome that we can have someone on the show that can talk about not only mediation, but also how it's connected to emotional intelligence. Because a lot of time people are saying, well, emotional intelligence, that's that stuff that, you know, all of the bright folks, or all of the 4.0s
yeah.
from Harvard use. Or they say that stuff is what maybe smart people,
yeah.
I probably did that, you know, early in my career too, before I began to understand just what it is. And so today, you know, when I knew that you were going to be on talking about EQ and community mediation, well,
yeah.
it was just kind of hard for me to sit still, because I said, this has got to be exciting. This is going to be answering questions. Of course. This is going to be answering one of those questions that people are always asking. So how does it fit? You know, and
yeah.
so we're going to explore that. But first, let me do this. Often, Patsy, sometimes we'll have someone who wants to call in and maybe ask a question, or or have a clarifying statement on something. So if there's anyone out there that's interested in calling in while the show is going on, feel free to do that. The number is 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. So let's just jump right into it, Patsy.
Okay.
Give us a little bit about your background in community mediation and emotional intelligence. Maybe start with maybe the community mediation part or your background before you even got into community mediation. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I kind of came to it sort of sideways, as I think a lot of people do. I worked in a human resources department for over 30 years with the local county government here. And so being in HR, you get to hear a lot of conflicts and people who are, you know, not exactly happy with each other and trying to figure out ways to work together. And so for the last 10 years that I was in that HR department, I was actually in charge of the employee training and the leadership development programs.
Wow.
And so I got I was all excited because I had done all the other not nearly as fun HR stuff for a long time.
Like org and comp and payroll.
The fun stuff. And so I decided I would, you know, jump in and get certified in a bunch of things just because, of, you know, I'm kind of a training junkie. And so I became certified as an instructor for the Crucial Conversations book, which I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. But that is a fabulous, fabulous way to really break down how to have a difficult conversation with somebody in a way that will actually be productive versus, you know, you ending up having even worse conversations. And I also got certified in an emotional intelligence tool called EQ in Action, which is through Learning in Action Technologies. And so as I got certified in those, I started getting really excited because I'm like, oh, my gosh, this can be so helpful. This is that, you know, like you say, the emotional intelligence just as a term always kind of puzzled me because I was like, well, so are you saying we're dumb? You know, what's up with that? But once I got into it, I really understood the whole concept more about it's just that self-awareness and self-regulation and self-reflection and empathy and all those things that we need to communicate with each other. And then about that same time, I took a 40-hour mediation certificate training with the city of Fort Collins, who and I wasn't working for the city at the time, but I thought, wow, this is great, and they were looking for volunteers for their mediation program, and I thought, whoa, I can do that. This would be a good way to keep my skills going. And so it just was kind of this happenstance of the three of those things happening all at the same time. That, and then over the next 10 years, I was still at the county. They eliminated the program, and lo and behold, the city needed to hire somebody to coordinate the mediation program. And so I was like, hey, I could use a job right now, and I know that stuff, so let's do it. And so I was lucky enough
So you raised your hand for that, right?
That's right. And so I could do that. So I was real familiar with being a volunteer and had done a lot of volunteer hours as a volunteer mediator. And then stepping in to coordinate the program was just another layer of it. So yeah, you know, it's an interesting road, but here I am. So
when you were doing HR in the corporate world, let's say, was emotional intelligence in there in some of the training and stuff that you were doing, or was it?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. In fact, I put it in there because it needed to be in there.
Yes.
And, you know, so much of it, they Well, and you know, because of your background with emotional intelligence also, is that there's so much focus in the business world on the more IQ kinds of things, you know, the specific problem solvings and the numbers and the crunching and the this and the that. But really, the majority of what really makes somebody a good leader, and not even just a good leader, but I think a good person, is if you're able to recognize what's going on in your emotions and say to yourself, is this an emotion I want to express right now or not?
Wow.
You know, that thought process just fascinated me. And to be able to try and teach that thought process to people was just, it really got me excited about this whole field. And so, yeah, to me, they're kind of the same thing, even though it sounds kind of academic and, you know, like, ooh, big words and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
but it's just,
mm-hmm.
Wow, you know, how do I listen to somebody else, care about what's going on for them, grow my empathy, even if I disagree with that person? And then how do I, I'm upset about X, Y, Z thing, and that really might not have anything to do with that person I want to yell at. It might,
well,
but it might not.
You just said a couple of things here. One, you said listen to someone else,
mm-hmm.
care about someone else. That means you're putting someone else first. That means
yeah.
you're putting someone ahead of what most people think of in terms of the me, you know, sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I have to see what I can get out of this. I have to see how it impacts me. And what I'm hearing
yeah.
you say, that the emotional intelligence piece would be, let me listen to whoever it is and
mm-hmm.
indicate in some way that I care about what it is that they're talking about or what they're interested in or whatever. But it was just that you were talking here and I
mm-hmm.
heard that and we were just kind of talking. You didn't say the steps are or
yeah.
first you need to do this. It just came out naturally. It
yeah.
just came out naturally. And so to some extent, what I'm hearing is that, you know, if you kind of start from that point, you're already working on your emotional intelligence. I'm going to just throw it out there that way, that you're already.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah, yeah. Anyway, pardon me for jumping in there, but sometimes
oh,
I
no,
have a
no
tendency
worries.
To do that. My impulse control is just not at its best sometimes.
Well, you know, there's some good self-awareness and self-regulation types of practices you can do to help you with that. So.
Well, then we're going to get to that a little
not
bit
to mention
later on.
Sarcasm,
because
so.
we can always use, you know, some more tools in our toolbox, as we say. But
absolutely.
You were sharing. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But what I was going to say is, you know, I've never used the term emotional intelligence in the 3 years that I've been working here at the city in the mediation, but I use the concepts all the time because I think that, you know, if you're talking to somebody who understands what emotional intelligence is, then you can kind of bat around all those nice big words. But if you're talking to people who don't know what it is and they're thinking that you might be making fun of them, but they're not overly sure, then that it doesn't do you any good. You know, it doesn't do me any good. So, you know, I find that I kind of listen for that. If somebody seems to have that vocabulary or those pieces, you know, I might chime in with it. But basically, it's in the background of what I do. So when I explain to someone who calls in with a problem that with their neighbor, let's say, I don't sit there and, you know, oh, well, you know, emotional intelligence, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, you know, it's like, well, what's going on for them? What's going on for you? How is this impacting you? What, how can we, you know, if you sit down with our professionally trained volunteer mediators and have this discussion, this could lead to resolving your situation. Are you interested in doing that? And so just going from there, kind of weaving it into more everyday language.
Okay, so you might, listening to what you said, is that you might ask them, what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. How's that impacting you? How's that affecting you? So you're not asking them about their emotions or anything at that time. You're just saying, what's the impact that is having on you? How's that affecting you? And most people can identify with that, or most people can say, well, it's making me upset, or it's making me angry, or mm-hmm. it's preventing me from getting done what I want to get done, or whatever. So they don't hold back a lot of times on talking about the impact or the effect that it might be having on them. And by not using the word, the big words, emotional intelligence, they feel more probably at ease just going into the discussion of whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
Good approach. Yeah. Good approach. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. So if I ask you the question, what's EQ got to do with mediation? You might say,
I would say everything. It has everything to do with mediation, because it's all about relationships. So emotional intelligence is, how do I relate to other people? How do I relate to myself? Things along those lines. And mm-hmm. so when two people are, for whatever reason, whether they're neighbors or they're, you know, coworkers or they're whoever's, when mm-hmm. they are kind of stuck in their own story about the other person, you know, and they're just saying they don't understand what's going on with that other person, and they're not paying attention to their own role and however they may have helped make this situation as nasty as it is, then that person is not tapping into their emotional intelligence. So they're not being self-reflective. They're not being self-aware. They've lost, at least hopefully only temporarily, mm-hmm. any sense of empathy for that other person.
Okay.
And then they're calling and saying, hey, I want somebody to yell at this guy for me. It's like, well that ain't going to happen.
Give me a situation or a scenario in which someone may come with an issue. What might an issue or a problem or something like that be?
Sure. So I can think of, oh gosh, there's so many. but let's use, one of the things that we do is a typical landlord-tenant type of situation.
Okay, good, good.
So
everyone should be able to relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Most people anyway.
Yeah, you either know somebody who's rented a home, or you've rented a home at some point in the past, or you're renting right now. I mean, it's a, you know, it's not everybody can afford to buy a house. And so, so, you know, there will be the inevitable, I get a call from the tenant. Or sometimes I get calls from the landlord. But let's say a tenant calls and says, you know, my landlord's not fixing this thing that's, you know, and he's just, all he cares about is making money, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he refuses to take care of this place, and it's falling apart, and you know, and I'm, and so they're just going on and on about how they're pretty sure that the reason that the landlord hasn't fixed whatever it is that's not working is because that person's rotten, you know, and mean,
mm-hmm.
and should be yelled at, you know, on some level.
Of course.
Of course
they are.
And it's like, well, yeah, that mean old landlord, gosh, you know. And so, you know, I explain our program and say, you know, we offer this service. If you're willing, you know, I can contact your landlord for you, see if he's willing to participate, and assuming it's a he, it could be a she. But say, then I call talk to the landlord, and he says, oh, my tenant, oh my gosh, he doesn't pay his rent on time. He's always whining about little things that are no big deal. I think he's just taking advantage of me, blah, 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 et cetera. So here's the same person, or a person involved in the exact same situation, with a totally different story about the other person. And so, you know, neither one is seeing, like, the landlord is not seeing that, you know, he could maybe do something differently that to shift that dynamic. Neither is the tenant. The tenant's like, oh, no, no, you know, I'm the one who's right here, kind of thing. And so what I love seeing is when we can get them into mediation. And we have some fabulous, fabulous volunteer mediators who, you know, really focus on just the process. All the mediator's going to do is help you have the conversation, kind of create a safe space for you, not let anybody interrupt each other, no name calling, things along those lines. And it's amazing how that the story softens between the two people. You know, the landlord, you know, might talk first and say, well, blah, 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 and remember when you did this, and yada, yada, yada. and then the tenant will say, yeah, but you never fixed, yada, da, 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 da. And so as they get talking, maybe some other things start coming out. Like one of them perhaps prefers to communicate through emails and texts. The other one prefers a face-to-face or a phone call.
Right, right.
And then as you kind of reflect that back to them in a way that says, oh, it sounds like you're needing this and you're needing, and you over here are needing XYZ thing and you're needing ABC, but gosh, I both see you saying that there's points of agreement here. And as mediators, we can kind of just put that out there and say, well, I hear you agreeing on this, that, and the other thing. You're disagreeing on this and that. And all of a sudden they see that other person as a person and start saying, oh, I didn't know your mom was sick. Oh, that's a bummer. Oh, I didn't know your dog died. I mean, or whatever, you know. Whatever specific things are going on. And then we want them to create their own solution. Well, what do you guys want to do about this? Oh, okay. Then they start coming up with the solution of, wow, you know, okay, from now on I'm going to call you instead of send you a text when the pipes start leaking or what, I don't know, whatever. and the other one says, okay, and that's fine, and I understand that if you don't get a hold of me that it's easier for you to leave me a text. Okay, that will be okay in X circumstances. So they see each other as human. They see each other as worthy to be listened to. And it helps them heal their relationship, whether they realize it or not. Now, sometimes, oops, sorry, my
Definitely.
Phone just kind of went wacko, and we're going to turn that thing off. So, at any rate,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. I totally lost where I was because Siri on my phone thought I was talking to it, and it's like, what? What? What do you want?
<I'm> sorry. Siri said, I don't understand. I don't understand. Say again.
That's right. So,
well,
yeah, I think
you know,
it's that whole, you know, that you can heal in relationship using emotional intelligence skills. You can also harm people with poorly chosen emotional intelligence skills. So it's just getting them there, you know, and helping them realize it, whether they know it or not.
You know, and you were saying early on, and this is part of just the process and not necessarily emotional intelligence, but emotional intelligence can come into play here. But the complaining party, if you will, wants you to call and yell at the, you know, the landlord or whatever. And you said, well, you know, I can reach out to the landlord and see if he'd like to be a part of the process. What if the landlord is saying, I don't want to be a part of that process? You know, that's old Mickey. And every time I turn around, Mickey is whining and moaning about something. So I don't want to be a part of that. What happens
there?
Oh,
that happens a lot. That happens a lot, too. So then I go back to Mickey and say, well, looks like your landlord's not interested in mediating with you right now. If you would like, I can give you some suggestions of what could be helpful behavior. Probably wouldn't say it that way. I would come up with a different, you know, would you like a little coaching around what to do in these situations? So we can offer a little conflict coaching. which would I would include, you know, some of those self-reflective kinds of questions like, so what do you think, is there anything that you're doing that might be making the situation tense, or, you know, that might be helping to contribute to the lack of communication? Because for sure they'll tell you what the other person's doing.
Right, and, or not doing.
Yep. And just ask them, well, what would you like to see happen? What kind of tools could I potentially give you some information on to try and help with that? So I will try to give them something. I also tell them that the door's not closed. Just because the landlord says no now doesn't mean in, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a week and a half, or however long it takes, that we could always revisit. Because mediation can be here no matter when they need it, as long as both sides are willing. That's just, I don't think you can force people into mediation. I mean, you can, but you may be talking to a brick wall, and that won't really help a lot. Yeah.
So what we just heard then, what we just heard was an opportunity for the mediator to use his or her EI skills or EQ skills or emotional intelligence skills with one of the clients. In other words, you know, it's not just using it with the two parties. Maybe you have to work with that one party to get them in a position or get them so that they are more receptive to what they can do or how to better approach the situation.
Yeah, that's
so
a really good way to word it.
Yeah, it's just not the conflict between the two where it comes in. You might work with that one individual until such time as the parties can come together. Perhaps they never come together, but still you have the opportunity to work with that one individual. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, because even if a small change in the normal dance, if you will, you have a dance going on between two people, somebody takes a slightly different step, it changes the entire dance, changes the whole situation, and hopefully for the better. So.
Okay. So how does mediation, how does the mediation process then help someone increase their EQ skills? Because let's say hypothetically, you know, we got the people, you know, and they are now in the process and you've kind of established some guidelines by which the mediation can proceed or take place. Is there a learning opportunity for them to increase their EQ skills?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Especially in the opening statement portion of the mediation, because, you know, there's always, you know, the opening statements that the mediators say, just, hey, here's how this is going to go, here's the ground rules, blah, 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 blah. Then each party has time that will be not, where they won't be interrupted, to say more about the situation for themselves. How is it impacting them? And if they're, I actually had somebody once who was just so upset they couldn't even, you know, talk about how it was impacting them. And as a mediator, I would ask gentle questions of, well, what was the last incident that happened that upset you? What's the impact on you? What, you know, those types of things. What would you like to see? What would you really like so-and-so over here to understand about this situation from your perspective? So you can kind of coax that information out of them. The other person I have given a pad of paper to, and what we say is, as they're talking, you're not going to interrupt, but you can make notes about anything that you want to follow up on. More often than not, people don't even write notes. They're just looking at the other person. And
yeah, that's what
as they
say.
Yeah, it's so amazing as they start hearing the story come out of the other person's mouth, whether they want to or not, they start getting in a more empathetic mindset because they're having to listen. And they're saying, hopefully to themselves, wow, I didn't realize that. Now, of course, I think I would give some of that credit to a prep sheet that I send to everybody that I I of course assume that everybody reads and memorizes. Ha ha. Not really. And the prep sheet that I put together has those kinds of questions on it. I mean, first of all, it says here's what's going to happen in the mediation. You know, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And what should you bring to mediation? This is where I put in here. It says a willingness to listen and understand the other person's perspective, even if you don't agree with what they say or think.
Oh, okay.
Bring your open mind.
Okay.
So I've been kind of being sneaky there and planting a few seeds of, you know, you will be empathetic. You will listen. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and then
I think that's important, too, because if they know that that's what they're being asked to do, then mm-hmm. they're more likely than not do it, or at least do some of it.
Yeah.
Because everyone, most people want to follow the rules.
Yeah.
And so if that's a rule, then they want to follow it to some extent, even if they don't necessarily agree with it. If they mm-hmm. say, if they got out of the document that says you should listen and not interrupt,
uh-huh.
to a large extent, they're going to listen and try not to interrupt.
Right. And I've yeah. asked them to think about things like, what is their overall goal for the mediation? Do they owe someone an apology? Do they think someone owes them an apology? What are they willing to do differently in the future? And what would they like to see the other person do differently in the future? So I've kind of laid out some questions that will hopefully, if they've taken the time to really sit down and think about it, will increase their own self-awareness, which is
okay.
key in emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
opening the door for them to have that empathy for the other person.
So it's not one of some free-for-all, free, you know, you just come in the room and sit down and start slinging mud. You.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
you know,
no, you, dude, cut that out.
You
yeah.
kind of set
no.
up a process, yeah,
yeah,
that they're agreeing to, which is great, you know, because
yeah.
you can get something done, you know. If somebody just come in with a bucket of mud to start slinging.
Oh, yeah.
Both parties are going to be muddy at the end, and that's all you're going to get, two muddy people.
Yep. And that's what they're afraid it is. Honestly, most people have no idea what mediation is. I had someone once say, no, I don't want to do litigation. I'm like, well, neither do I. We don't do litigation here. We do mediation. And so it's a word that they don't necessarily... Unless you've
mm-hmm.
been through mediation, you know, you don't walk around thinking, oh,
right.
mediation, doesn't that sound awesome, you know, kind of thing. It sounds more like torture. They're afraid they're going to get yelled
mm-hmm.
at. And I even had somebody once say, as I was talking to them to see if they were interested in doing mediation, he goes, I don't know, I tend to get really mad and yell at people when in those situations. I said, well, if it makes you feel any better, we won't let you do that. Because that's not the way that people act in mediation. And he was like, oh. So it is definitely not a free-for-all.
Good. All right. I like that. I like that even better than, you know, as the saying goes, before we start. Because sometimes people ask me, mediation, what is that? And I go, well, it's best you talk to a mediator to get a real good perspective.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, of course, we're hoping that they're listening to the show today, and then they can go away with a much better understanding of the mediation
yeah.
process. Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, not at all. It's so I you know, think that those kinds of things, that's how we're helping them build their EQ skills, and they don't even know it unless
yeah.
they're familiar with emotional intelligence, you know. They just walk out of there going, wow, yeah, that was good. I'm glad I know this now. And you know what? Maybe I can kind of cut that guy some slack about this. Or I've even had people say, well, I can help you. You know, you're having a hard time. You're not mowing your grass. Maybe that's part
mm-hmm.
of the reason that, you know, they think that they're the evil neighbor, is that their grass is too tall. But they don't realize that, you know, I don't know, I can make up some story here, you know, that they broke their leg and their lawnmower sprung a leak and all kinds of things. They don't understand any of that. They walk out going, well, I can help you. You know, I can send my son over with our mower, you know. And so kind of breaking through those barriers that people have built between each other. That's when I kind of go, yahoo, after a mediation when it goes that well. And they usually do. If we can get people in the room, they usually do go that well.
Yeah. You know, because what I was thinking is I have a neighbor who has trees, and I'm sure this is one of those things that show up in mediation, you know. And the limbs extend over on your side, you know.
That's right. And all those leaves, now I have to clean them up.
Right, you know.
Yep.
And all we ask is to cut the limbs or trim the tree so that it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't, you know. And so you get frustrated and you say, well, I'm going to just hack the tree, you know. And so whatever it looks like, you know, I mean, it starts to look ugly or whatever. That's their fault because they're not manicuring it or treating it like they should, you know.
Yep.
So you can easily see where people can get frustrated because both sides have some responsibility, but one side should know that, you know, what's going on with their, you know, their tree or whatever. But they...
That's right.
But anyway,
like a page out of my book there, Dr. Hank.
Oh,
that's exactly
okay.
I get those a lot. You know, there are trees, you know, are hanging over my property line. Uh-huh. They are. So what do you guys want to do about that?
And the tree owner says, hey, I'm not going to do anything about him. You know, I mean, if he has a problem, let him do something about him.
Yep. And then a lot of times it's because they don't even realize that it's causing a problem for their neighbor. They just think the neighbor's being grumpy. It's like, come on, you're getting shade. You're getting all kinds of good stuff out of this deal, you know?
Yeah, you're getting shade.
What are you complaining about?
And your grass is dying because you're getting shade in that spot rather than sunlight.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Although in Colorado, it's the other way. That if you get shade, the grass grows because the sun's not burning it.
Well, so there's some regional or geographical issues that vary. So the neighbor may be from Colorado. He says, well, hey, I'm from Colorado, and that's a good thing when, you know.
Yep.
And he said, oh, well, yeah, but I'm from Florida, and that's not so good. Well, geez, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know. Now I know, you know. So once people can really hear the other person's perspective, I think that's gold. That is just the magic of mediation. And it's also the magic of emotional intelligence.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing this for a while, so obviously you've probably seen some big ones or some messy ones or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe just some that, you know, produced some barriers that were unexpected. So what's the biggest barrier to resolving conflict that you've seen in mediation that you've done?
You know, I think it's kind of a combination of people's fear and people's anger. And it'll play itself out in different ways, you know, for people. But I think a lot of times people are afraid of their emotions. They don't want to feel their emotions. And they certainly don't want their emotions to come up in front of someone they don't know if they trust or not. So they're afraid of being vulnerable in front of the other person. I think they're also afraid of finding out that they were maybe wrong about, you know, any given point of the argument that they've been, you know, really living on. I mean, they tell their coworkers about it. They tell their cousin about it. They didn't, this jerk who lives next to me, blah, 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 blah. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a true, all of that unravels, you know.
Yeah.
People are afraid of conflict. And I think life is just so full of unpredictable conflict out there that, you know, you see it on the news, you see it in social media, you know, just see people ripping each other up one side and down the other with words or with weapons. And people are afraid. It's like, oh, no, let's not have any conflict. But conflict handled well, boy, is powerful stuff. It fixes things. It makes things better. And but people don't always have that experience with conflict, so they don't believe that it can happen. And I think just anger at not being heard for so long. And what comes to mind on this one, or what makes me think of that, is we had recently a dog barking. those are fun, you know. And it was three neighbors who are home all day, upset about barking dogs from a family who both parents work and they're gone, and the dogs are there, and you know, and they bark a lot. So as we're having this mediation and the family is talking about all the things that they are juggling, and they have these are rescue dogs, and they're doing their best to try and, you know, help them be more comfortable in the world. But they were abused badly, and, you know, and so they're trying, you know, they're taking them to doggy classes and doggy psychologists and, you know, and all this stuff.
Right.
And these neighbors are just like, we don't care. We want you to get rid of your dogs. It's like they were not willing to cross the line. Because they were still so angry, I guess. I mean, I'm playing Patsy psychologist here. But they would not cross over into empathy. And it was sad because these people are, like, being incredibly honest and saying, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, and asking for a little compassion. And these neighbors were like, nope. Get rid of your dogs. And it's like, so there is the percentage of mediations that go that way, where people won't listen. You know?
Yeah, that would be sad. Yeah.
It really was, because as these neighbors afterwards, of course, continue to call the animal control people and want to complain about the dogs, and the animal control people go talk to the family and find out all these amazing things that these people are standing on their heads practically trying to help these dogs, and they're part of their family, you know? And they're like going, well, I don't want to give these people a ticket, you know? But these people are still complaining, and I'm like, I know.
Because, you know, most people can identify to some degree with that and say, well, you know, I don't really want to, you know, ticket the folks or whatever, you know, over that. But then on the other hand, you know, you can imagine someone that's home most of the day and they're hearing the dog bark all the time. It sort of gets to you, you know. It's like, why don't they shut up? You know, why don't they put something in their mouth? I mean, you know, we come up with all those terms, you know, all those things. Why don't they get rid of them, you know? Well, they're not home, so they don't have to put up with it. But we're home, and we have to put up with it, you know. So why don't they do something about it?
Yeah, and the hard part is both sides are right.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are, you know, busting their backsides trying to integrate these dogs into their lives and their families and give them a safe home, their intentions are fabulous. The people who are home all day are like going, nails on a blackboard, I can't take these dogs anymore. So they're both right. It's not a matter of one being wrong. But that's, unfortunately, when you get into a conflict mindset and are not open to solutions, it becomes that, you know, win-lose, right-wrong. Yeah. I'm right, they're wrong, so, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, we open the door. That's all we can do in mediation is open the door and hope people come through it, you know, and are able to, you know, have that better experience with a different level of emotional intelligence and have it kick in and heal their relationships and, you know, work sometimes,
gotcha.
Sometimes it don't.
Gotcha. So I know by now you probably have a lot of resources that you use or that you might find as a supportive in the work that you do. Why don't you share a couple of those with our listeners?
Sure. Well, one thing that is really helpful is to talk to people in other mediation programs. And there's not as many out there as you might think. Some communities, some areas have them, and other ones are like, what are you talking about? You know?
Yes.
And so it's been just so amazing. The National Association for Community Mediation, or NAFCAM organization, has just been such a wealth of information for us to be able to tap into other centers to see what other, quote, best practices are. I mean, that sounds so leadership developy, but, you know, what it's kind of that, what do you guys do when this happens? Oh, I'm going to try that, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I've been able to connect with other centers and just get fabulous resources. I mean, on their website, they have documents and ideas of things that, because our center, we have kind of a small center and we're not as comprehensive as some centers are. We don't get involved in a lot of court cases like some do. Ours are more neighborhood focused. But yeah, there's a ton of good information out there. And I would just really encourage anybody who's interested in mediation, or if you're listening to this going, maybe we should start one of these programs in our city.
That'd be great.
Check in with NAFCAM. They're going to give you all the information you need to help get yourself off the ground, or at least, you know, feel like you're not alone out there.
Well, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, we just kind of put the show together to offer that, because we felt or we know that, one, community mediation is effective, and it does work, you know, and it does take some of the burden off the court, and it is least expensive than a lot of litigation, and you go into it from, you know, a non-adversarial perspective, hopefully. So there's a lot of pluses about it, but it's one of those little-known services that's out there. Or it's something that people, not on purpose, of course, but it's a secret, you know.
Yeah, we're like this best kept secret thing, you know.
yeah, you know. And sometimes, you know, that's what happens when something works really well. You know, people want it, but they don't know about it. So therefore, you know, or because it works so well, people get so engrossed in doing it that they don't spread the word that, you know, this is available for others in other locations. But yeah, I just really think that would be, you know, a big plus that every city, you know, and one of the things is, you know, if you could just say every city of 15,000 people or more or something like that would have a mediation center.
Yeah.
You know, or that each city would automatically think about that and would adopt that as a way to resolve conflicts within their city. You know, the cities could be, you know, instrumental in getting something going. Like, because I remember at the beginning of the show, you said, you know, you know, that's kind of how you got into it. They were looking for someone to sort of coordinate or run the mediation program or something, and you raised your hand and says, I'll do it.
I'm a huge believer in it. I just really am, because even if you don't do formal mediation, just how do we help reduce stress in people's lives right now? That's worth more than gold, you know, to be able to actually help somebody see they can create a solution instead of feeling stuck in the problem that they're having. And this is just one way to be able to do it.
Yes, it is, and it is, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you being on the show today to share your skills, knowledge, and expertise with the listeners there. What if someone did want to find out more, get some information and stuff? What do you suggest they do?
Well, definitely check in with NAFCAM. Maybe even just Google mediation in your area, because maybe there is a community mediation program in your city and you don't even know it. So that's very true. There's a lot of people in the city, and we're like 175,000 who don't know we exist. Mm-hmm. So, and but, you know, if I can be of any help or give any information that would be helpful, I'm happy to pass that along too. So.
Okay, so one of the best things they can do then is just go straight, as we say, go straight to the source itself, and that's NAFCM, www.nafcm.org. And I'm sure there's someone who will respond back to them and be able to help them, as we say, get started in some way or another.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and even if you do have a mediation center and you're in struggles with what you're doing, you know, give NAFCM a call or send them a note. What if someone wanted to reach you, could they just kind of send you an email or say,
oh, sure,
I like what you said, you know, okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. So
okay.
my email address is P. Maroney, so it's P-M-A-R-O-N-E-Y, at fcgov.com. So that's like Fort Collins Gov, so fcgov.com.
Fantastic. Well, Patsy, thank you so much again for taking time to be on the show today. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to it. And that was pretty painless, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was totally painless.
That podcast
was
pretty painless?
Well, it's very nice, Dr. Hank. I appreciate the time.
We were just talking about mediation.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And that's something I really like, so it's easy for me to talk about it. So.
Okay. Well, thank you again. I appreciate it. And don't be surprised if somewhere along the line you get a call and it's Dr. Hank and said, well, would you like to be on the show again to talk a little bit more? So,
oh, sure. That'd be fun.
So thank you again, and we appreciate it and look forward to talking to you more in the future, Patsy.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Hank.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to EQ and Community Mediation, and this has been brought to you by the Dr. Hank Show. So for those of you out there that have been listening and go, wow, I've been always trying to figure out how EQ and mediation tie together, well, you just heard that it's easier than you think, or perhaps more simple than you, because it's all about connecting with the other party. And one of the things that Patsy mentioned was a book that sort of got her headed in that direction. That was around crucial conversations. And with crucial conversations, it's all about being able to talk to someone, or how do you have tough conversations sometimes. So we're all about emotional intelligence. And sometimes with emotional intelligence, you do need to have crucial conversation with someone. And so grab that book, if you will, Crucial Conversation, and maybe scan through it and see if there's some things that you can pick up that you might find helpful. Because again, closely related to, or a lot of the things that they have in there is about emotional intelligence. It may not use the term emotional intelligence, but when you're having crucial conversation with someone, you do need to put your emotional intelligence to work, or as we say, have your emotional intelligence in gear. So this is Dr. Hank saying thanks for being with us today. Look forward to you coming back and being with us for another show. Yeah, we'll be back next week, same time, same place. We'll have another guest, and that guest, well, it's going to be a surprise, but do know for sure that that guest will be sharing some information with you about emotional intelligence and how emotional intelligence connect. Now, before we got started with the show today, I did give a couple of shout outs to all of the folks that completed the EQI certification this weekend. And I wanted to just kind of do that again, as well as those that went through the coaching certification. So thanks very much for listening to the show today. Hope to see you back here or hear you back here again next week, same time, same place. So again, Dr. Hank saying thanks and have an EI day.